ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Hearty welcome to all the devotees who have taken great effort to come on this Sunday afternoon to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. It is very rare for people in this age of Kali to express this kind of enthusiasm and interest. And therefore, we highly appreciate the effort taken by all of you to participate in this Sunday festival. So, for the pleasure of Lord Narasimhadev and for all the Vaishnavas, devotees have conceived of a series of lectures from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 10 chapters described about the Narasimha Leela in detail. But that progresses gradually. So every week, different speakers will explore the different chapters one by one. And today is the first in that series, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. So therefore, the title has been given The Fair Rain. Deliberately, some complex names have been chosen so that many people out of curiosity will want to come and hear what exactly this is. So the basically chapter is Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Second chapter is Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Chapter 3 is Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal and he terrorizes the universe. Then Prahlad Maharaj, his character is described in 3 chapters. Then chapter 8 is Lord Narasimhadev slays the king of the demons. And after that, Lord Narasimhadev is pacified by Prahlad in chapter 9. And Prahlad's qualities are described in detail in chapter 10. So this will be the subject matter of discussion in the coming weeks. So please stay tuned in and follow the series and you'll find it very interesting. So I'm reading from text 48, text 47 of Canto 7, Chapter 1. Vairanubandha tivrena dhyanena chuta satmatam nitam punarharer parshvam jagmatur Vishnu parshadau. These two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jay and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. Purport. Whatever their position, certainly Jay and Vijay always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Mosha Leela, these two associates of the Lord returned to Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayan's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seem to have attained Sayujya Mukti in Krishna's body. So, in this chapter, in very brief, the title is Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. The topic for discussion is whether Krishna is equal to all or he is partial to some. And this question is put forward by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami because the events at the end of the 6th canto indicate that Lord Vishnu helps Indra conquer over the enemies, the demons. So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit has this question, that the Lord is supposed to be equal to everyone, why is he displaying this kind of partiality? So Shukadeva Goswami describes in detail this answer. And the first principle he says is the Lord is actually equal to everyone. The Lord is not like a conditioned soul is affected by various kinds of desires. He is fair to all, equal to all. But it is just the way we reciprocate with the Lord that we perceive the differences. And so, different bodies have been given, and the bodies under the influence of the different modes of nature act differently. And therefore, sometimes you will see mode of goodness, sometimes you will see mode of passion, sometimes you will see mode of ignorance. These become prominent under the influence of the modes. So the Lord has provided the facility and he allows things to happen of their own accord. And when someone expresses their desire and free will in a certain way, the Lord reciprocates. And then he quotes a similar conversation which took place between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Narad Muni during the Rajasuya Yajna. When Shishupal was killed, everyone sitting in that assembly saw that Shishupal's soul entered into Krishna's body and attained Sayujya Mukti. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was astounded and bewildered, and he questioned that someone has blasphemed Krishna right from his childhood. And the word used is that he could not even speak properly at that time. Small children, when they are just growing, the first words they speak, you cannot hear properly. You cannot make any sense. So when Shishupal was growing up, the first words which came out of his mouth were blasphemy of Krishna, which could be perfectly heard. And therefore, all his life he went through like this, blaspheming Krishna. So how at the end of life he could attain mukti? This was Yudhishthir Maharaj's question. And Narad Muni explains the concept that Krishna is absolute, and therefore anyone gets connected with Krishna will also experience the absolute nature of Krishna and become purified. And in fact, Narad Muni, in one verse, he explains a very interesting concept. He says that as far as all of these demons are concerned, my dear Yudhishthir Maharaj, these demons, they think of Krishna with so much absorption. Yatha vairanu bandhena martyastan mayatam iyat na tatha bhakti yogena itime nishchitamati na tatha bhakti yogena. Narad Muni says in this very astounding verse, by bhakti yoga, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of Krishna as one can by becoming enemy towards him. That is my opinion. Yatha vairanu bandhena martyastan mayatam yat na tatha bhakti yogena iti me nishchita mati. So this is a very, very interesting verse. And therefore, before anyone who is a newcomer misunderstands this and thinks that, well, I never knew this concept. If you had told me this before, then I would have taken to this path on the authority of Narad Muni, who is one of the Mahajans. So rather than bringing flower or fruit or water, like few years back, like different people bring sometimes to offer some wedding card, or sometimes someone brings Japamala, Tulsi Mala, and say offer to the deities. One gentleman, many years back when I was doing the offering, after the aarti, he came up and gave me a bag and from inside he pulled out a pair of boxing gloves and said, offer this to Gopinath. I said, why? That because I purchased it new and I'm a boxer and I need his blessings. So I was reminded of this, that tasmin vairanu bandhena, it is not that we want to be enemy towards the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in the purport very clearly that Narad Muni is expressing astonishment at the absorption of these demons simply out of his own humility. And this verse should not be taken literally. Otherwise it will create a lot of confusion. Otherwise your whole preaching will become difficult. Because anyone you are trying to preach will quote this, saying that I am doing bhakti like this. And this is more intense than what you are doing. And it is a fact that Shishupal, while he was thinking of Krishna inimically, there is no record that, there is no mention that he was very lackadaisical. He was very intense, always thinking. There is a story in the Mahabharata that Krishna had one darpan or a mirror where if you look, anyone looks into that mirror, you could actually see the face of the one who is thinking of you at that moment. So if I want to know who is thinking of me, so if I look into that mirror, that person's face will come. It's a very interesting mirror. Thank God it's not there anymore. Otherwise most of the day will go in that. So now Krishna got that mirror and Krishna looked into that mirror. And normally you would expect gopis, Yashodamai, someone to be constantly thinking. And as soon as Krishna took the mirror, whose face came? Shakuni. Because he was constantly absorbed. Because he was the mantri for Duryodhan. And he knew that Krishna is going to give different kinds of ideas. And so he was trying to always think about what Krishna must be thinking. So therefore it is described, na tatha bhakti yogena iti me nishchita mati. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he quotes the example of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. That Kaviraj Goswami says, jagaya madhai huite muise papishta. I am lower than jagai and madhai, Kaviraj Goswami says. So when you read that, you should not close Chaitanya Charitamrita thinking, I didn't know about that. I'm already reading it. No, it is not literal. It is his feeling of humility. So therefore, the point to be taken is absorption. An absorption in Krishna in any form, in any shape, in any way has an effect. Just as if you put your hand inside the fire, then whether you declare to the fire or not, the fire is going to burn you. Therefore, this is the theme which Shukadeva Goswami explains. And then he quotes Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni's conversation. And then Narad Muni goes into great detail to explain the history of Shishupal, of what Yudhishthira Maharaj just saw, that they were actually Jay and Vijay from the spiritual world, and how they were cursed. And then when they were cursed, the first birth they took was that in the form of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. That they were cursed and they fell from Vaikuntha is also a very intriguing phenomena, because it was simply Krishna's desire. The Lord desired to participate in pastimes of chivalry, where he wanted to fight and kill some of these demons and display his activities. And therefore he arranged for them to come to the material world. So they were empowered by Krishna. Anyone who is empowered by Krishna, his activities cannot be checked. Because Jay and Vijay were empowered by the Lord, that you go and create facilities for my pastimes. Because of that empowerment, even though they acted demoniac roles, those demoniac roles had the empowerment of the Lord, and hence no force within the 14 planetary systems could check them in any of their series. Either as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra. No human or any other species, no soul could stop their progress. That is the power of empowered, of being empowered by the Lord. So when the Lord wants to create pastimes of destruction and he empowers someone, they become so powerful. So what to speak of if the Lord empowers someone to deliver the conditioned souls and get them back to the spiritual world so that they can participate in the eternal leelas of the Lord? How powerful will be that empowerment? And therefore, no one within these 14 planetary systems can check the activities of the Lord's associates who have been empowered by the Lord himself. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, E chandale, e dware a chandale, kirtana sanchare, nama prema malaganti, podaila sansare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within this material world with a desire to deliver all the conditioned souls. And he took a garland, the flowers of love of God. And the flowers of love of God were strung through the thread of the holy name. And the Lord personally took this garland, Nama Prema Malaganti Podela Sansare, and offered this garland to the whole world. He embraced all the conditioned souls with a desire to deliver all of them. That was the Lord's personal desire. Generally, we expect to garland a great soul. So we take the garland and Krishna expects that sarvadharman parityajya. First offer obeisances. Then I will accept the garland. But here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you don't bring the garland. I have brought the garland. You just take the garland from me. And for that, I will offer obeisances to you. And therefore, the Lord is expecting all of us to assist him in this pastime. The pastime of giving Krishna's message to the conditioned souls. Speaking about Krishna, informing your friends, relatives, neighbors, office colleagues, whoever is in touch with you in some form or another about Krishna. And when you start doing that, you will also get empowered by Krishna. And therefore, the mission appears very difficult and impossible. But when there is empowerment by the Lord, one gets great strength. For destructive activities, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha received such empowerment. Therefore, to directly assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart's desire, one will also receive empowerment. Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Bhavanand Prabhu, was there a few months back. He asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of my name, Bhavanand? And Prabhupada was asking actually. And he said, Prabhupada, it means that one who experiences the joy of bhava in Krishna. Prabhupada said that would have been Bhavananda. But your name is not Bhavananda. Your name is Bhavananda. So he said, what's the meaning? And Prabhupada said the meaning is one who experiences pleasure in bhava, the material world. And he got bewildered. That it is a spiritual name or a material name? One who experiences pleasure in the material world. And Prabhupada said, the material world is a place of misery. There is only one pleasure available. And that pleasure is the holy name and Harikatha in the association of devotees. And that makes the journey tolerable. And therefore, it is described in Rupa Goswami's works, Dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. अहो अहो भीर न कलेर विद्युते सुधा सुधारा मधुरम पदे पदे. दैट कृष्ण कथा होली नेम हरि नाम इज जस्ट लाइक चंदन एंड चंद्र. एंड टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग चंदन यात्रा वेयर वी हैव डेकोरेटेड. द डिवोटीज हैव वर्कड वेरी हार्ड टू ब्यूटिफाई श्री गोपाल विथ चंदन. सो दिस चंदन इज has a cooling effect. Similarly, Harikatha has a cooling effect. Krishna Naam has a cooling effect. Dine dine chandana chandra shitalam. Yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. So when we describe Krishna's glories, when we hear about Krishna's glories, the result is we experience great relief from the pangs of material desires and suffering of this material world. Therefore, this is a very important principle that we should aspire to receive this message and distribute this message. And in this way, one will experience the empowerment of the Lord. So here, we will see how the Lord is demonstrating his equality, sense of equality to all the conditioned souls. And we will try to discuss this topic by referring to the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which demonstrates this concept in detail in the form of one pastime. And the pastime is the churning of the milk ocean. And this is described in the 8th canto in great detail. 7th and 8th cantos of the Bhagavatam are like the arms of the Lord. What do you do with the arms? With the arms you snatch away things and give things. So 7th and 8th canto describe how Krishna takes away facilities from the demons and he gives facilities to the devotees. How he takes away things which the demons are so attached to and helps the devotees in their progress. So this may appear to be partiality. But if a small child is playing with a sharp knife, he has a sharp knife, very sharp, and he's just holding that knife and looking at it from all angles, and the mother sees the child holding that knife, what will the mother do? She won't tell the child, okay, take an apple also and do something. No. The mother will immediately come and try to trick the child so that the child ultimately gives that knife back. The mother may say, look there, and she'll take away that knife. So can you say that the mother is acting cruelly towards that child? No, she is taking away from that child that which will be harmful for the child. Therefore, Krishna is like a loving mother and he knows what is best for each one of us. And therefore, partiality and impartiality is simply seen based on misunderstanding. So when that mother takes that child from that knife from that small child and gives it to the elder brother, who's 15 years old, and says, now you cut potatoes. So the small child may perceive partiality. What is this? I am not allowed to use that knife. He is allowed to use that knife. Why? Because he is immature and doesn't know how to use those facilities. So therefore, because of improper mentality, when we are not capable of handling something, then the loving parents may snatch away and take away those facilities. That should not be perceived as an act of partiality. It should be perceived and seen as an act of mercy. And then the parents provide the nourishment and the instructions and the guidance and the protection so that the child can grow up properly. Similarly, the Lord also reciprocates in the same manner. So we see in the 8th canto this principle being demonstrated, that in one pastime the Lord takes so many incarnations And through these incarnations, he apparently helps the demigods. But we see that this is the way the Lord reciprocates so that both parties get what they ultimately want. So the pastime begins with the first scene that Durvasa Muni is traveling in the heavenly planets. And Durvasa Muni sees that Indra is riding on an elephant, Airavat. So Durvasa Muni is walking on the road and he sees Indra coming. Durvasa Muni feels, I should give my mercy to Indra. So Durvasa Muni takes out his garland, offers that garland to Indra as a Mahaprasad, as a token of his mercy towards him. So at that time, Indra, who is sitting on top of this Airavat, is in a neglectful mood. And he looks at this garland and he sees that it is not something very significant. Because Indra himself is wearing such garlands, such kind of lockets made of diamonds, rubies, emeralds, gold. He is loaded with all kinds of jewels. So compared to that, this is nothing. This is just a flower garland. So at that time, Indra just takes that garland and gives it to his elephant, Airavat. So when Indra himself doesn't understand the importance of that garland, how do you expect Airavat to understand? So Airavat takes that garland, and then elephants, they have one parameter of judging whether it is edible or not. So if it is not, it is useless. So he just threw it on the ground, and right in front of Durvasa Muni, he just smashed it completely and made it disappear. And here is one of the greatest, most powerful sages, Durvasa Muni, seeing this right in front of his eyes. Such disrespect, such neglect. And the effect of such disrespect and neglect is fury. So Durvasa Muni is also known for his anger. So first he gave his mercy that was neglected. So now he decided to give mercy in a different way. It was more spicy and hot, and he gave a curse. And this curse was that Indra should lose all of his power. So this is a very important point. And the point is that inattentive dealings leads to offense. False pride leads to inattentive dealings, and inattentive dealings leads to offense. And offense leads to degradation and destruction. So therefore, it is all part of a chain. And Indra's greatest mistake was he considered Durvasa Muni to be an ordinary person. And he felt, I am so important. I am so great. I am so powerful. And therefore, Indra just used his charma chakshu, his two eyes, to judge what he had just received. So therefore, if we simply use our 6x6 vision to judge things, we will not be able to understand anything. And we will have mistaken judgment. If someone doesn't know what gold is, and he just looks at that stone, if an uncut diamond just looks like a big block of stone, and you don't know the technique to understand whether it's diamond or not, you may use it just as a paperweight. But someone who knows what it is understands its value. Therefore, one has to be very careful in dealing with spiritual paraphernalia. It could mean anything, including devotees. Therefore, here we find that Indra judged incorrectly based upon his misunderstanding. There was a BTG which was published, and on the back of the BTG there was Prabhupada's photo, black and white picture, and the caption was given, "This man changed the whole world." And Prabhupada saw that BTG copy, called one of his disciples and said, "So how do you like this photograph?" And the devotee said, it is very good. Prabhupada said, no, there is a big mistake here. And he tried to look into every aspect of the photo. He couldn't find any mistake. And Prabhupada said, they have mentioned this man. And the spiritual master should never be referred to as this man. Because he may appear to be an ordinary man, but is actually not ordinary. He is Sakshad Hritvena Samastha Shastrair. So saintly person is someone who is empowered by the Lord and should not be considered ordinary. Prabhupada was sitting outside of a temple because it was a summer day, and he was sitting on a chair next to the sidewalk on the lawn. And one disciple was offering fan, peacock feather, to Srila Prabhupada. And there was one passerby on the street who was walking by, and he turned around and saw that Prabhupada was sitting, reading something, and there was one devotee who was doing this peacock feather. And this man came up close to Prabhupada and pointing to this devotee doing the, you know, peacock feather fan, he said to Prabhupada, why is this man fanning you? Because generally in the West, this is not seen. And he felt that this person is engaging someone in his service as a labor. So he said, why is this man fanning you? And Prabhupada simply looked at him and said, because it is hot. And this man was totally astounded because he felt Prabhupada will defend, say something. But no, he just said that. So many times, people, when they see that someone is in a certain position, they will not be able to appreciate and understand. And Srila Prabhupada used to face this all the time. And one of his biggest challenges was to establish that we need guidance from a spiritual preceptor. And so I was describing in the Bhagavatam class the other day, the Vanara word means that an animal who looks like a man, Vanara. But it also means a man who actually has divine qualities, who's divinely empowered, who's been empowered by the Lord, Vanara. So therefore, one must be very careful in not judging. So Durvasmuni, he cursed. And at this time, all of the power was lost. The demigods were bewildered and they did not know what to do. So it is described, Iti abhashya suran vedhan sahadevai orindama ajitasya padam sakshat jagama tamasaparam. So these demigods, they approached the Supreme Lord through their agent Brahmaji. So Shukadeva Goswami refers to Maharaj Parikshit in this verse as Sahadevai Arindama, that all of these demigods in their miserable condition approached Lord Brahma. O Arindama, O destroyer of enemies. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging Maharaj Parikshit. Arindama. Arindama means one who has conquered and subdued his enemies. Ari. Just see the condition. When the Bhagavatam has been spoken, Maharaj Parikshit is in great anxiety because he is facing death. And Shukadeva Goswami is speaking the Bhagavatam. And there are only a few days remaining. And Maharaj Parikshit gets completely absorbed in the katha when Shukadeva Goswami speaks. And as Shukadeva Goswami is beginning this pastime, and the pastime begins with the description of how Indra became bewildered by his opulence and committed offenses. So typically, when we are hearing something, a narration, and specifically when that narration or a meeting is held one-on-one, when we know that the person is speaking only to me, then it is quite natural to connect the things which are spoken with your own life. So naturally, if I take someone in a room and start speaking about a pastime of false pride and how offenses are committed, the person starts thinking, is it that I am also committing offense like this? Is it that he's talking about me? So here Maharaj Parikshit may have felt like that because he was also a king. So Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging him and saying that you do not have this problem because you are Arindama. You have conquered over your enemies within. And therefore you have become purified. And hence, without any doubt, just sit and hear this katha and ultimately destination is guaranteed. So this is the significance of the word Arindama. Maharaj Parikshit had conquered over all political enemies, Kali personified and everyone else. But now, to face death, he needed Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, now in this pastime, Shukadeva Goswami is describing how all of these personalities, they approach Brahma. And it is described, Tatradrishta Swarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabho. Most of the demigods had never seen Brahma personally. And the word used here is Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabho. They had only heard that Brahma stays here. And this is the way to access Brahma. So they had faith. And this is a very important principle. Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabho, even the greatest demigods, they lead a lifestyle where everything is not empirically observable. And therefore, when they are in difficult situations, they have no recourse but to put faith. Shruta Purvaya. They had heard. And therefore, they put faith on something which they had heard before. And this is a very important principle. One reporter challenged Srila Prabhupada that you are speaking about God, are you seeing God? And Prabhupada said, even if I am seeing God, what difference it makes to you? How will it help you? Just like if I am eating food, if you see me eating food, your belly is not going to get filled up. So therefore, rather than simply challenging authority, you should get into the mood of being submissive and hear. Another time Prabhupada was in a college and he was speaking about Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission and he was quoting scriptures. One big professor, he got up and he started challenging Prabhupada. That you are talking about chanting of the holy names, but that's not the highest. Vedanta Sutra says this, Upanishad says this, and he was quoting one shloka after another. And Prabhupada said, are you finished? He didn't stop. He continued. Prabhupada said, are you finished? He didn't stop. He went on and for more than 5 to 7 minutes he was going on. Prabhupada finally said, are you finished? And then he sat down. And then Prabhupada started quoting from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu different verses which established how Harinam Sankirtan is the highest. And Prabhupada was quoting scriptures left, right and center. He was going on and on and on. And then suddenly this man, he raised his hand. And Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, can we have Kirtan? And Prabhupada said, one of my biggest challenges is that I have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing because Kali Yuga means skepticism, lack of faith. And as soon as you bring out any topic of spirituality, all of the doubts which people have immediately come out. So Shruta Purvaya means they had heard about this, but they put faith and they approach Lord Brahma. Brahma responds to their prayers, understands their condition, and says, even I cannot help you in this state. Let us go to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the lesson to be learnt is, all of us went through our education system and some of us are going through. We have hope that I get a degree, I'll get a job, I'll make money, I'll have a house, I'll have a career, life's problems will be solved. I will be in control of my life. The lesson to be learnt is, 33 crore demigods are helpless. When 33 crore demigods approach Brahma, he is also raising his hand and saying, I am helpless. And if we sitting here in this insignificant planet think that we are great, then that is called illusion. Therefore, Brahmaji, he takes all of these demigods to the Supreme Lord. And then Brahmaji starts praising the Lord, saying, Klesha bhuri alpasarani karmani bipalani va. My dear Lord, you are so great, you are so powerful, that if the devotee simply offers a little bit of service to you, you bestow great benedictions upon him. So Krishna is known as most merciful. In the outside world, we are struggling very hard, fighting very hard. But the result which we receive will be very meager. But in Krishna consciousness, you work a little bit. And then you add the Krishna factor. Then the ultimate result which you receive will be multiplied and much beyond your own expectation. And Prabhupada writes that in the purport. That which you will receive after connecting with Krishna will be beyond your wildest imagination and expectation. Therefore, klesha bhuri alpasarani karmani. So you may think that I have to spend 1.5 hours chanting Hare Krishna, come every Sunday for Sunday program, associate, attend counselor meetings, do this, do that. There is so much of effort. But if you put effort in this, then automatically your other efforts get taken care of because Krishna also decides to collaborate with you. And therefore you can imagine, if you get connected to someone really powerful, how much benefit you get. So the myth is, I will not give anything to Krishna. I will not give my time to Krishna. I will not give my money to Krishna. I will not give my energy and effort to Krishna. I will all hold it for myself. And if I do that, I will benefit. No. Prabhupada says, you have two hands. And if Krishna wants to snatch away things from your hands, Krishna has how many hands? Unlimited hands. How will you hold back? And when Krishna wants to give you with unlimited hands, how will you receive it? I was telling the story other day. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada had started an incense factory for making agarbatti. So one small boy, one devotee's son, who was around 10 years old, Gopal, he also wanted to participate. So it was a factory and devotees who were working were getting paid, you know, around $20 per hour like that. So when this small boy expressed desire that he will also help, so he also started getting paid. And he was very happy with this. And then some people started saying that, oh, he's a small boy, why should he get paid? Small children should not be paid like this. So Prabhupada was there. So the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, this boy is working like this and Gargamuni Prabhu is paying to this boy per hour $20. What should be done? Should we continue? And Prabhupada looked at the boy and said, very good. You're working very hard. So Gargamuni Prabhu, whatever this boy does every hour, you should pay him regularly $20. And the child was very happy. And then Prabhupada looked at that boy and said, and you, Gopal, when you get that money, give it to me. And this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. That yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi dadasi yat. We begin by offering whatever we have to Krishna. And we may think that, am I doing too much? Am I giving too much time to Hare Krishna? And if you ask your neighbors and friends and family and office colleagues, they will say, too much, three much. This much you should never give. At least take a Sunday break. No. But we should know that whatever time you give to Krishna consciousness is an investment. As Govind Prabhu mentioned the other day in his class, that the working benefits may not appear to be so much in Krishna consciousness, but the retirement plans are out of this world. So therefore, every moment you are getting so much, you are not aware. As soon as we get come into the temple and get connected with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gives us the ticket. Airline ticket. Golok Airlines. Take this ticket. At the end of life, you just produce this ticket and you will be taken. As soon as one comes and starts chanting, we have the ticket in our pocket. And Maya Devi also begins her job immediately to convince us to give her that ticket back. So every moment she is sending different agents who are saying, give that ticket. That is just paper, just give it back. And if we get convinced, we will immediately give it back. So practically every day we get up thinking that today is the day. I think I should give this ticket away in charity. Therefore we have everyday Bhagavatam class. So as soon as you hear Krishna Katha, hear a class, you are about to give, you say, okay, one more day. I will keep it. I won't give it so easily. Therefore, constant hearing is very essential. And even though you may think, I've been hearing this stuff for years together, I've been visiting this temple for years together, practically I don't know how Bombay City looks on Sunday afternoon. Because every Sunday I've been in temple only. So maybe I've accumulated sufficient credits now. No, we just have to keep going. And then ultimately, as I described, the benefits are awaiting us. So here, Klesha Bhuri Alpasarani means if we take Krishna's help, then immediately the effort, whatever you put, the returns get magnified hundreds of times. So Lord Vishnu appears in his most beautiful, resplendent form. And the Lord says that, my dear demigods, at this moment, time is not favoring you. You are powerful, but you can't do anything. Because time factor is very powerful, and you cannot destroy the influence of the time factor. Tasyaitasya janonunam nayam vedo rubikramam kalyamano pibalino vayor ivaghanavali. Bhagavatam describes, we may think we are so powerful, I am so educated, I am so rich, I have such influence. So we are just like clouds. There may be small clouds and there may be big clouds. So the whole material world is a group of clouds competing with each other. Smaller clouds want to become bigger clouds want to become still bigger clouds. But ultimately, cloud is a cloud, it has no substance. And cloud looks big, but it is very feeble and very weak. All it needs to move and finish off a cloud is a gust of wind. Kalyamanopi balino vayor iva ghanavali. When the wind blows, however big that cloud may look, it has to shift, it has to move. So similarly, however powerful one may be within this material world, once the influence of time factor is there, we can't do anything. So this, he says to all the demigods and says, at this point, you are very weak. And what you should do is simply accept the situation, but work on getting your strength return in due course of time. How do you do that? There is nectar. There is nectar or amrit which is hidden in the ocean of milk. You have to get that. How to get that? Get association of the demons. You cannot get that nectar on your own. You need the collaboration of the demons. And demigods are wondering, how can we collaborate with demons? They're enemies. But the Lord says, no. If you want that nectar, you need their help. And therefore, you should make friends with them. Each party will think they are going to get the nectar. But I will be with you. And I will help you get that nectar. Take various kinds of herbs, put it inside that ocean. Take Mandar Parvat and Vasuki, and then you do the churning, I will help you. So in this way, the Lord gives His assurance. And this is a very important principle, that the demigods and demons are in one sense opposite to each other. They are enemies. But the Lord is saying, right now the time factor is against you, better be diplomatic. You cannot do things on your own. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, material world means it is a dirty place. Even if you go to the heavenly planets, material world is a place of suffering and anxiety. As you can see, the demigods are in anxiety in spite of being in the heavenly planets. Therefore, many times to get one's work done, one may have to refer to some kind of diplomatic means. So you cannot avoid suffering and anxiety within this material world. Prabhupada was in Mexico and some devotee was massaging him. And this devotee was being bitten by mosquito. And he looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, mosquito is biting me. But I see that mosquito is not biting you. Maybe because you are a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, maybe, but in Calcutta they don't distinguish. And Prabhupada was in Calcutta and he was giving lecture in 3C Albert Road. And he sat on the Vyasas and he was about to begin. And immediately a whole army of mosquitoes came. And they started moving around his head. Just even before he could begin singing Jai Radha Madhav. And Prabhupada tried to push them away, but they would still come back. And Prabhupada got down from the Vyasasana and said, just see, even the mosquitoes have dethroned me. They have made me come down. So Prabhupada was referring that material world means you have to go through the experience of suffering. So as Sridhar Maharaj has a favorite statement that suffering is compulsory, but misery is optional. That suffering will be there, but whether that suffering condition puts you in a miserable state of mind, that is up to us to decide. So that is the most important principle. And Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and one devotee was massaging him, and there were big, big mosquitoes in Mayapur. And the devotee had just heard that Mayapur is spiritual world. And Mayapur is the place we are supposed to go at the end of life. And here he was attacked by so many mosquitoes. And he asked Prabhupada, are there mosquitoes in spiritual world also? And Prabhupada said, even if they are, they are all chanting Hare Krishna. So you don't worry. So you can't avoid the experience of suffering in this world, even in the heavenly planets. But the important thing here is how the demons react to suffering and how the divine react to suffering. So when there is suffering, one who has divine consciousness takes shelter of the Lord as the demigods. They accept this advice and they go ahead and approach Bali Maharaj. And when the Bali Maharaj and all the demons, they see that the demigods have come, immediately the top all demons take their weapons and start charging towards them. And Bali Maharaj says, hey, wait, just let us hear what they have to say. Because unless we hear from them, you can't really know what they want to say. So then the demigods come and they offer, okay, let us come together and do this churning of the milk ocean. So the demons, they have their private conference. And they start discussing what will be the pros and cons. And the leaders of the demons, they tell Bali Maharaj, we have always defeated these demigods in history. So there is no problem at all. What we will do is we will use them to get that nectar. And once we get the nectar, we'll finish them off. And then we will enjoy that nectar. So what the demigods were thinking, same thing demons were also thinking. And both came together and had a collaboration. That let us work together. Let us cooperate. And that is cooperation in the material world. That each party is thinking about his own selfish interest, but still comes together, because that is the only way something can be achieved. So now they come together and they decide, let us start churning of this milk ocean. And the first principle you need is the main pivot. And that was the Mandar mountain. It was a mountain made of gold. So all the demons and the demigods, they come together and lift this Mandar mountain, which is so heavy. It is so heavy that practically all of their bones are getting crushed. Big, huge, powerful demons and demigods, all together they try to lift this. But they are unable to hold it for long. And this huge, powerful mountain crushes down on them. And most of their limbs are destroyed. Many of them die. The first attempt they make in the churning process, miserable failure. All the demigods and demons put together, they fail. Lesson to be learned, that without the Lord's intervention, directly or indirectly, one cannot practically do anything. So the lesson which is continuously being hammered in this pastime is, do not think that I am the doer. Do not think that I am the doer. Krishna is helping in many ways. So this, as soon as this happened, they were all very morose, because they started thinking that, okay, we have failed. With so much of enthusiasm we started this, and step one itself is failure. So all of us have experienced, when we start something and some things fail, immediately the mind switches off. And we feel it is not possible to do this. But we should have some faith and understanding. And at this point, the Lord appears. Lord comes on Garuda, effortlessly lifts that Mandara mountain and brings it straight in the midst of the demigods and the demons. And at this stage, the demons and the demigods receive the glance of the Lord. And simply by receiving the Lord's glance, all of them are revived. So the Lord is not only giving them idea, the Lord is also providing them strength, the ability to do things. So without Krishna's mercy, we cannot get the inspiration, nor can we get the strength and the ability to perform any task. And therefore, we should always remember this principle. So here, at this point, the Lord says that, okay, I have brought this Mandara mountain, and he tells Garuda that you please leave. Why? Because very soon Vasuki has to come in. And Vasuki is a snake. And snakes are natural food for Garuda. So the Lord is thinking, if Vasuki stays here and then Garuda sees, then there will be problem. For this service to be performed, it is not good for Garuda to stay here. So he looks at Garuda and says, my dear Garudji, the greatest, most spectacular event in the history of planet, in the history of this universe, is going to take place. The greatest, most awaited match in the history, demon versus demigods. It is going to be a thriller, and it is going to be for a long time, and no one has ever witnessed such an event. It is going to be a premiere here. And all of the demons, all the demigods are going to come together and perform this spectacular service. And it is going to be a sight to behold. And no one has seen this before. And I am going to participate in so many wonderful ways. And you have always associated with me in all services. And you have never seen an event like this also before. But I request you, please go. You cannot stay here anymore. So now, just imagine, if we are in this situation of Garudji, we will say, come on, you can't do this to me. For years and years I've been carrying you in so many crazy battles, in front of so many demons, and got so many attacks on my different parts with all these weapons. The least I expect in return is some incentive, something special, to be able to participate in an event which has never happened before. You are depriving me of this opportunity. Come on, just give me a side seat somewhere. I won't interfere. I promise I'll be a vegetarian now. Please. No rationalization, no kind of protest. Lord says, get out. Garuda says, as you desire. No argument, no discussion, no rationalization. It is not that Garuda went and then again came back. My dear Lord, one point, you know. Maybe you have not considered this. Again goes and again come back. One more thing. Or nor did Garuda start crying, you can't do this to me. And Lord Vishnu says, okay, fine, okay, stay, stay. I'll just tie your beak. So Garuda did not ask for any adjustment, nor Lord Vishnu compromised and said, okay, I will adjust things for you. Just because you have done so much service, and you are so stubborn now, so I have to compromise, okay. Otherwise you leave me. Nor Garuda say, okay, no, you search for another vehicle now. I will go to Lord Shiva. He is very merciful, he is Ashutosh. He will never do like this. He will not mistreat me. So Lord Vishnu is now about to perform a service, and a servant's main job is not to increase anxiety of the master. His main task is to take responsibility and relieve the burden of the master, and not choke the master with emotional demands. Ah, I want this, otherwise something will happen. So Garuda was the perfect servant. Lord said, Garuda, go. And Garuda didn't go into depression. Oh my God, what must be happening? You know, and he didn't think of, look, there'll be a live relay somewhere where I can see this. He just went. And at this point, it is described that the demons, they came, the demigods came, and they said, okay, we have to still get Vasuki, because you need a churning rope. So they went to Vasuki and told Vasuki that, Prabhu, we need your service. We need your help. Said, what is the service? You just have to assist us for some time. Raja, okay. How much time? Maybe a few thousand years. Oh, really? What is that service? We'll just wrap you around a mountain of gold, you know. Mandar. So after wrapping you around the mountain of gold, then what? We'll just pull you from both sides. How many of you? A million demons from one side. 10 million demigods. 33 crore demigods from one side. And then the churning will go on. You know, it'll happen, don't worry. And Vasuki is thinking, what? You want me to become a churning rope? And it is not that few kids are just touching you. Powerful demons and Vayu, Indra, Chandra personified, they're all pulling from both sides. So can you imagine? You know, no civil engineer can work out the tensile strength required for that rope to last. Such power and all that is going to come on Vasuki's body. It is not that they are asking Vasuki to supply a rope. They are asking Vasuki, you become the rope. So Vasuki says, I'm sorry, it's not possible. So they say, okay, do you know why we are doing this? Don't be so dull. At the end of this, we are going to get nectar. And when we get the nectar, do you know what you will get? A part of the nectar. Just imagine, you are from serpent species. You don't know anything about nectar. As soon as you get nectar, just imagine immortality. So they bribed Vasuki. And Vasuki started thinking, oh wow, if I get that nectar, then it is worth going through all of this purification, you know. So he decided, yes, he will agree. And he agreed for this proposal. And you can see that in the material world, the demigods and demons, they just had a mundane objective in mind to gain strength and power. For that, you have to resort to diplomacy at every step. So now, Vasuki was roped in. And then he was made the rope around Mandar mountain. Now the demons and demigods felt everything is perfect, pakka. The plan is foolproof. They had all meetings. Meetings were successful. It was all minuted. They said, okay, now everything will be executed properly. Deadlines were made. And then according to their plan, they executed. And the Mandar mountain was brought inside the ocean of milk. And as soon as it entered into the ocean of milk, Vasuki was still remaining around in that circular shape, but Mandar mountain went down and sank because there was nothing to hold. So now, the demons and the demigods, they had thought of everything. And they thought, now is the success. Success is just minutes away. And as they were about to begin, fail. One more failure. And at this stage, it is described that the Lord personally appeared. And the Lord appeared in the form of Kurma. And then he held this most wonderful Mandara mountain upon his back. This Mandara mountain, which was with great difficulty lifted by the demons and demigods, and when the Mandara mountain was moving on the Lord's back, it is described that Lord was feeling as if someone is scratching his back and massaging his back and inspiring him to go to sleep. So when this churning of the milk ocean was going on, Kurmadev was feeling sleepy and he was yawning half the time. Ah, so relaxing, such a nice massage. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this shows the difference in the power of the Supreme Lord and an ordinary conditioned soul. Even all conditioned souls put together cannot match a fraction of the power of the Supreme Lord. So now that Kurmadev was there, Mandar mountain was on top of Kurmadev, and then Vasuki was there, ready to be held. So the Lord requested the demons to take the side of the tail, and the Lord himself held the face of Vasuki, and all the demigods came on the face side. The Lord felt that since from Vasuki's mouth poison will come out, I should be there to take that. And therefore the Lord, in the form of Ajita, took the face side. And he told the demons, you go on the tail side because it is safer. That was the Lord's desire. But what did the demons reply? Nagrihanimo vayam pucham ahir angam amangalam. Hey, what is this? Why you are given us the tail side? And you have become head. And they say, Swadhyaya Shruta Sampanya Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. You do not know we are highly educated? Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. We are born in such big families. We have such big degrees. You cannot ask us to catch the tail. By default, we have to become head. We have to take the head side. Therefore, you put us on that side, you are putting us on this side, it is unfair. And therefore, we will not start this churning, we go on strike. So they said, we are not beginning. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is mentality of demon. Demoniac force means, as soon as they see devotee doing something, they will decide, we will do exactly opposite. For no reason. Just because devotees are doing something in a certain way, they will want to oppose and do exactly opposite. That is because of the influence of false ego. So here we find that the Lord was trying to console them, take care of them, but they were refusing to accept it. So the Lord decided, okay, fine, I will only do that. and the Lord changed sides. And the Lord went on the face side, and the churning at last began. As the churning began, the poison started coming out. And as it came out, it started affecting all the parties who were all around. And it is described that this poison started spreading, these fumes, it just came out. It affected everyone in such a bad way, practically everyone lost their consciousness. And the Lord again came and revived them. And it is described that all kinds of species of life from inside the ocean were being churned out. And the first thing which came out of the ocean as a result of the churning was deadly poison, halahal. And as this poison started spreading in all directions, it killed everyone. And they approached the Lord, please help. And at this time the Lord said, only one person can help you, Lord Shiva. So they approached Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva just brings this ocean of poison by his mystic power. He just reduces it to an insignificant portion and drinks that poison. And that poison is held in Lord Shiva's throat or kantha. And therefore Lord Shiva is known as Neelakantha. Through this beautiful pastime, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, Topyante lokatapena sadhavo prayaso jana paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya akhilatmana. Lord Shiva's unlimited compassion is demonstrated. So Lord Shiva is seeing that conditioned souls are in distress. I must help them. And therefore, tapyante lokatapena, a devotee takes on the mood of the Lord. And when he sees others in distress, he wants to help them. He wants to share that joy of Krishna consciousness with others. He is willing to go through all kinds of suffering condition to help others. Param aradhanam taddi, by this, one actually worships Krishna in the best possible way. Therefore, this is a very, very important principle. Srila Prabhupada was told that there is this rocket scientist, very famous, Von Braun. He is interested in God. And the devotee said, we should preach to him because he's a very important person. Prabhupada said, no. We don't preach to him because he's an important person. We preach to him because he has come to the right point. And he's ready to take up now God consciousness. Therefore, a devotee is compassionate. He wants to distribute and share this knowledge with others. And even that may result in a lot of misunderstanding. People may not appreciate it, but sadhavo prayaso jana param aradhanam. A devotee distributes Krishna consciousness freely just because it is good for others. There was one devotee who was very fond of eating Mahaprasad sweets. So he used to steal Maha sweets and eat regularly as a new bhakta. And then it was time for his initiation. So when he came forward to meet Srila Prabhupada and take his initiation beads, Prabhupada said, your name is Jagat Chakshu Das. Krishna, from whom no one can hide anything. And this devotee thought, my God, is Prabhupada knowing that I steal these Maha sweets and I'm eating regularly? So he didn't speak anything, but he was just thinking that I should not do this anymore. Next day he went for book distribution. When he came back, and Prabhupada said, how many books you distributed? And he said, so many books. And Prabhupada said, very good. This is the highest welfare activity you can do. Distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And Prabhupada said, you are assisting me so much in this mission, come in. And Prabhupada took him to his room. And on the table, there was a big plate of Maha sweets. And Prabhupada took that Maha sweets and gave it to him. And he got such a realization that all we have to do is assist in this mission. Distribute this knowledge to others. Sometimes it will be received, sometimes it will not be received. But we have to try our best. So in the Ramayana it is described, Dvijan vitrasayan dhimam urasa padapan haran mrigansca shubanignuha pravruddha iva kesari. When Hanumanji jumps from that mountain on his way to Lanka to travel across 100 yojanas, when Hanumanji with his huge form jumps, that pressure of his feet on that mountain, it shakes up that whole place. And what happens? The birds which are on the trees, they fly in ecstasy surrounding Hanumanji's body. And they want to come closer and embrace Hanumanji. The trees, they get shaken up. Mrigansca shubanignuha, and the mriga, the deer and the animals which are in that forest on the top of the mountain, they run out of fear. Pravruddha iva kesari. Just like when a lion comes, how other forest animals run away. So the purport is very interesting. That Hanumanji represents the presence of a guru, a devotee, an acharya who is carrying the message of the Lord. And as soon as the representative of the Lord comes, Dvijan. Dvija means bird. Dvija also means devotees who are spiritually enlightened. Those who are spiritually inclined and are interested to hear about Krishna, they fly in ecstasy to embrace such association. They are attracted to such great souls and want to take and absorb and lap up their association and hear every word which is spoken. That joy is there. Whereas others, the tree represents those who are performing various kinds of activities but without any proper direction. They have favorable attitude but they don't have proper direction, so they are going through the regular activities of karma. So just like tree drinks water from its roots, so those who walk and work, that means for them work is everything. That represents the legs. When such people get in contact with association of Krishna and hear, they are willing to change themselves. They are willing to change and take up to this process. But there are others who are just like animals, who have desires to enjoy like animals. And as soon as they see devotees, as soon as they see any kind of Krishna consciousness, they just run away out of fear. Oh, Hare Krishnas are coming. Danger. We should immediately go away. So when you are preaching, you will come across all different categories of people. Pravruddha iva kesari. Means as soon as someone feels that my sense gratification is going to be threatened, they will run away. Like many years back when I used to do book distribution, we would go to many of these buildings near Babulnath temple. And we would ring the bell and they will say, hey, who's that? And say, we have brought something. And they will look from inside the hole on the door. And as soon as they see shaved head from inside, they will say, we have everything. We have Gita, we have Bhagavad, we have everything. Don't worry, go. Because there is total antipathy. They would not just open the door. So many times I would take a boy with me, college boy with hair, and make him stand in front of the door and then ring the bell. And when they will look from inside, oh, someone normal has come. And when they open the door, I would just enter and show the book. Few times I did that because as soon as people see this man is going to speak about Krishna, no, it is going to affect my sense gratification. Pravruddha iva kesari. As soon as lion comes, animals flee. Like that, those with animalistic desires, as soon as they see any devotee preaching, they can't just tolerate and they run away because they know that they will just slaughter all the desires for sense enjoyment which I have within my heart. So like this, after the pastime goes ahead for a long time and many things come out of the churning, and we'll just fast forward and come to the last part. And as these different products are coming out, at the end, finally, the nectar comes out. And when the nectar comes out, all the demons, they attack this Ajita, this Dhanvantari who has come out in the form of someone who's carrying this golden pot. They pounce on him and snatch that. Mita kalir abhut tesham natarshe tarshe chetasam aham purvam natvam natvam iti prabhu. Immediately, they have worked hard for such a long time, working in perfect cooperation. Can you imagine what kind of cooperation would have been required for thousands of years to perform this activity? How many demigods would have tried to run away? How many would have been inspired by others? Hey, don't run away. You will get it. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, so many of them would have suffered from difficulties in their arms and their legs and felt loss of inspiration. And they were all inspired to continue on. And many would not have, you know, even put their full effort. They would just be holding on. And just allowing Vasuki to slip by their hand. And inspire, ha, achha karo, ha, khicho. Hum hai, aapke saath hai, chalo. So all kinds of cheating, lying, diplomacy, this, that, everything must have gone on. But without any divine purpose, still they managed to reach that state where finally the nectar came out. And it was not that someone was coming and giving Bhagavatam class every day on how they should continue on with enthusiasm. They were just so obsessed, so intense. So therefore, the Krishna conscious efforts must be done with intensity. Otherwise, without intensity, ultimately, we will not be able to achieve anything. So either chanting or hearing or association or service, it should be done with a kind of gusto and enthusiasm. Otherwise, Maya's influence is too strong. And we will ultimately lose the desire to practice Krishna consciousness. So Mita Kalir, they started shouting and fighting with each other. Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam. Everyone will drink, don't worry. But I will drink first. Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam. And to add second part, Natvam, not you, not you. First me, then you. So all the big demons, they came and just finished off the lower demons. The biggest demon, he snatched that pot. Someone bigger than him snatched the pot from him. And each one was just fighting and snatching the pot. Demigods were nowhere in picture. They were just observing what is going on. But now the other weaker demons, they saw there is no scope for us here. Because we are amongst the weak category. And fight is going on amongst the top only. And whoever wins, they will only drink it. So the weaker demons, they started protesting. There should be justice for the demigods also. Demigods have worked very hard. You cannot deprive them of their share. There should be equal rights. They should also get. This is not good. Ye adharma hai. So suddenly lectures on dharma started flowing. So the weaker demons were having meetings and discussing. No, this is very unjust, very unjust. But each one thinking within, as soon as I get that, I am going to simply drink the whole thing. So therefore, this is modern day government. One who gets in power wants the nectar, and one who doesn't get the power is protesting. No, there should be equality. Even if there is corruption, it should be divided. It is not that you should only have it. So like that, this kind of talk of dharma began. So therefore, this is the material conditioning that each one wants prominence and wants to push himself ahead. And spirit of competition is very prevalent. And you know, no lecture is complete without an analogy from the local train of Bombay. And all of you, when traveling, you see what is people's consciousness here when they are trying to enter into a train. And there is such war cry when they are entering, shouting and screaming. And if anyone comes on the way from some other town, he comes first time, he doesn't know the, you know, regular dynamics of what happens. And many times regular people know what is going to happen and you feel, poor guy, now he's going to get it. He is running towards the door, Churchgate station is coming, he doesn't know the wave which is going to come in. So now you see everyone is rushing in, what is their mood? Their mood is aham purvam. That is the mentality which is there within, it translates everywhere in all aspects of life. So one time I was traveling in a train, and then I was standing for some time, and there was one seat just available. The station came, and then one person got up, and that seat became available, and a big crowd entered with full speed, shouting and screaming, and this man was coming, looking like that. And I was about to sit down, but I didn't sit down, I just came on the side and told this man, you sit. He was so bewildered, he thought there is something wrong with the seat. He inspected it very closely. He checked for at least 10-15 seconds, he checked. You know, what is there? Everything is all right. Look below. And then he looked at me. And he couldn't figure out why I'm doing this. Then he said, aap nahi baithenge? Aap kyun nahi baithenge? I said, no, I'm getting down now. Oh, okay, then it's okay. Because this culture is not there at all. So Vaikuntha means we give precedence to others. Yadi dure gatam krishna vana shobhe kshanayatam aham purvam iti samsprishya re mire. When Krishna goes to see the beauty of the forest, then the cowherd boys, they run, each one competing who will touch Krishna first. Aham purvam, same words come, iti samsprishya re mire. To touch Krishna. But what is the mood of that competition? Let me run fast so that by seeing me running towards Krishna fast, the other cowherd boyfriend gets more inspired to run. And let him reach Krishna first. So Vaishnava society is different from the regular society, and we have made this choice of coming here in the association of devotees because we expect this to be different. And each one of us as an individual unit in this association has a major responsibility to uphold the dignity of what is a Vaishnava society. In that, we have to understand, let me serve. Therefore, the description of the spiritual world is like this. So, of course, then the pastime ends with Mohini Murthy coming, and then Mohini Murthy appears, because again the demigods again bewildered. Beginning bewilderment, middle bewilderment, and also bewilderment. And they are thinking, what is going to happen? But the Lord comes in the form of Mohini Murthy, and he distributes the nectar in such a way that demigods get the nectar. And in the meantime, when the demigods are being distributed nectar, Rahu thinks, he's very intelligent. So Rahu jumps in, disguising himself. Surya and Chandra observe. They said, hey, my dear Lord, this is Rahu, demon. So as Rahu drinks that nectar, it comes only to his neck. Mohini Murthy suddenly takes out Sudarshan Chakra. That ornament was not displayed anywhere. It just came out of the sari. And then it cut off Rahu's head. So Vishnuvarti Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually the Lord enacted this Rahu pastime simply to demonstrate the power of that nectar. It was an advertisement for the nectar. That this is what the nectar can do, because that head became immortal. So by seeing that, everyone could understand, okay, nectar is so powerful. So in conclusion, the verse says, evam sura suragana samadesha kala hetvarta karma matayo piphale vikalpa. That in this effort, the suras and asuras had everything equal. Samadesha, same place. Kala, the hetu was same. Artha was same. The activities, the effort they put was same. But what was different? Phale vikalpa. The final result was different. Why? Everything was same. That means the Lord was equal to them, providing them all the facilities equally. But the result, phala, was different. Why? Tatra amritam suragana phalamanja sapur yatpada panka jaraja shrayanan na daityan. What did the daityas not have? Yad pada pankaja raja. The only difference was the demigods had the constant shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which the demons did not have. Therefore, the demigods were always protected and the demons were deprived. Therefore, that facility is being offered equally to all of us. Come, associate, take beautiful darshan of Sri Gopal in the form of Tota Gopinath. Become purified. And in this way, make your human life successful. So this is an earnest request to all the devotees that you can come for this series of lectures which will describe each week the beautiful, merciful advent of Lord Narsingadev. And this chapter ends, finally, the last verse of this chapter. Maharaj Parikshit, Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking question to Narad Muni that Vidvisho Daite Putre Katham Asin Mahatmani Bruhime Bhagavan Yena Prahladasya Chutatmata. Oh my Lord Narad Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son Prahlad? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Krishna? Please explain this to me. So with this question, this first chapter ends. And then the chapter 2 begins, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, which will be discussed in great detail the next Sunday. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thy God Premanande.